All right. Africa's not the only continent that has to worry about electricity. We have to worry about it here using too much of it. So now the White House wants agencies to double their use of renewable energy. Agencies have until 2016 to come up with $2 billion in energy savings performance contracts. And that's above and beyond what they're already committed to. Dorothy Robine has some experience in all of this. She's the former commissioner of the Public Building Service at GSA, worked energy savings in the Defense Department, and she joins us now to discuss what agencies can do to take on this latest push. Dorothy, good morning.
Hey, Tom. Good to talk to you.
All right. So first, let's talk about ESPC, Energy Savings Performance Contracts. Just review for us how they work.
Sure. It's an alternative financing mechanism for federal agencies, others as well, but I'll focus on federal agencies to make improvements through retrofits in their buildings that will reduce their energy consumption. It's a public-private partnership. The way it works is a federal agency goes to an energy savings company. They're called ESCOs. And there are 16 of them that have been pre-certified, the Sweet 16. They go to one of these companies. The company comes in and looks at the agency's building or buildings and says, we think we can reduce your energy consumption by making the following investments. And once they reach an agreement, the company makes those investments on its own. The company funds the upfront cost of that, and then the company is paid over time through the savings to the agency. Once the company has been paid, then any resulting savings go entirely to the federal government. So it's a way for the federal government to improve its energy efficiency with no upfront funding. The private sector does the upfront funding. It's as close as you get to a free lunch if you're a federal agency.
And how has it worked so far? I mean, have any agencies been able to see the savings after the companies have been paid back?
Well, yes, but the goal is to get the improvements. So the additional savings are icing on the cake. The goal here is to get this improved equipment in the building and to reduce your energy consumption if you're an agency. I mean, that is very, very valuable. And then the additional savings, which may come 10, 15 years out, are kind of the icing on the cake. The savings are guaranteed, so it's a sure thing. And I think it's worked well. I think the issues have to do with it's cumbersome because these are long-term contracts in which agencies and companies have to figure out exactly what the savings are going to be. But President Obama issued a $2 billion challenge in December of 2011, and I think the federal agencies have pretty much met that challenge, which is why he issued another $2 billion challenge. The Defense Department is obviously the big player, but most agencies have some sort of a commitment.
And I'm just wondering, what's the most dramatic example you can think of an agency that was really able to cut its energy consumption through this process?
Well, I think you have to look at individual projects, but I'll give you my favorite example is one that it's a GSA facility. It's the Food and Drug Administration headquarters out at White Oak is the name of the facility out in Silver Spring. It's a former Navy base. It was BRAC'd in the mid-90s, and GSA took it over and turned it into the FDA headquarters. FDA needs very, very high-quality power to run their labs. In other words, they can't afford to have their power shut down. They also want to save costs. So GSA entered into one of the largest ESPCs ever done. It's about a $200 million ESPC with Honeywell, and it will be put in place over a period of time. Honeywell has constructed a number of it's a power generation facility that not only generates electricity but captures the waste heat from that facility and uses that to heat and cool buildings. So they're able to save energy in that way. They also have created what's called a little microgrid, their own little mini grid, and they can go on and off the normal power grid at will. So when prices get very high in August, when it's when there's a lot of demand on the grid, Whiteout can go off the grid. When Hurricane Sandy was coming up the coast, they went off the grid to make sure that they could continue to generate their own power. So that $200 million project is going to save FDA that amount. I mean, that is the benefit to FDA in terms of reliable power and improved equipment.
Is that what happened to the golf course out there?
Yes.
Well, you know, you gain something and lose something.
Right.
Well, my question is for this next round of $2 billion. I mean, at what point does a particular facility reach the point of diminishing returns? In other words, if I'm an ESCO and I go to a building that's already gotten some pretty good performance savings contracts in place, is it possible that I'll find that there's nothing I can do for you at this point?
I don't think we've reached the point of diminishing returns yet. There are a lot of federal buildings. There's about 360,000 federal buildings, 3.3 billion square feet of space, and there's a lot of energy efficiency improvements yet to be made. Federal agencies are required to audit their buildings every couple of years. They're only about halfway through that process, but they've already identified about $10 billion in energy efficiency improvements that would pay off within 10 years. So I think there's plenty of room left. I think also you'll probably see agencies start to use ESPCs in somewhat more creative ways. I think the president has indicated that he wants to use ESPCs to do renewable energy. That's always been a part of some ESPCs. I think you'll start to see more of that. So GSA has one out at two federal buildings out at New Carrollton, and there's a one megawatt solar project that is part of that. I think you'll see more of that. I think Congress is interested in seeing whether ESPCs can be used to make federal buildings more resilient so that when the grid goes down, if the grid goes down, the buildings can continue to operate. The Department of Energy negotiated an ESPC. I don't actually know the status of it, but it was an effort to combine two data centers, consolidate two data centers using an ESPC to upgrade the information technology infrastructure. The particular ESPC that became kind of controversial or got a lot of publicity is one with Lockheed Martin, and it got hung up. I think there was a little bit of a standoff between the Office of Management and Budget and the Department of Energy over that. I don't know if that has been resolved, but the White House is pushing agencies to consolidate data centers, so I think that may be another area where you see ESPCs have a role.
We're speaking with Dorothy Robine, until recently the Commissioner of the Public Buildings Service at the General Services Administration. You mentioned that this can often be a cumbersome process for agencies. What are the biggest stumbling blocks?
I think it's an unusual form of contracting for federal agencies. They're normally used to going out with a contract and that says we need the following done. What would you charge us to do it? And taking the lowest bidder. This is a performance contract. So a private company is guaranteeing the performance of the contract. They are guaranteeing that there will be a certain level of energy savings, and they don't get their money back unless that happens. So the stakes are high for the agency and the ESCO to get it right, and the contracts can go out 25 years. So there's a lot of it's a cumbersome contracting process. I think one thing the federal government needs to do better is get greater consistency across agencies in how ESPCs work. They don't all interpret the statute and the regulations the same way. So some agencies, most agencies allow renewable energy. Not all of them do. Some of them allow agencies to combine appropriated dollars with ESPCs. Some agencies don't. So there's a lack of consistency. It should take about a year. I think it's taking closer to 2 years to do these contracts, but I think it is getting better, and I think with this new $2 billion challenge, you'll see further improvement.
And, of course, they might be unusual, but they do exist in the FAR, right? I mean, I think it's subpart 37 that you can find how to do performance contracting. It just might be not that deeply an explored area for a lot of contracting officers.
That's right. And there is an agency in the Department of Energy, FEMP, the Federal Energy Management Program, that is devoted to helping federal agencies meet their energy goals. And they spend a lot of their effort goes toward helping agencies do these ESPCs. So FEMP is the first place to go if you're an agency looking to do an ESPC.
And given that these are long-term deals, is there anywhere that we can look to see what might happen far down the road for agencies that have just begun the process? I mean, is there anyone who is, say, in the 20th year of one of these things?
Well, the benefits start to pay off early on. I mean, picture yourself as a homeowner. You know, you bring in somebody who says, look, if you put on a new roof and you add insulation and you upgrade your furnace, you're going to see savings in your utility bill. The difference, that's exactly what's going on here. The difference is that in this case, it's the company, the Honeywell or the Siemens, that installs the equipment, that pays for it, that finances it, and that maintains it. But you as the homeowner begin to benefit from these improvements right away, and the same with a federal agency. The equipment goes in the beginning. So you are benefiting from the energy savings and the upgraded equipment from the beginning. You don't have to wait till the end.
Dorothy Robine is the former commissioner of the Public Buildings Service at the General Services Administration. Dorothy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.